third of our dreams could be forecasting the future. That was the conclusion of experiments conducted in the early part of the last century by a British aeronautical engineer called John Dunn. He published a book of his findings called An Experiment with Time in 1927, after testing his theory on himself and his friends. And the idea hasn't died. New research supports Dunn's findings. Lynn McTaggart, editor of the Living the Field Masterclass, has been looking at the modern evidence in relation to the World Trade Center disaster.
Rupert Sheldrake, who's looked at a lot of issues about psychic abilities in pets, was looking at aspects of extended mind, and he wanted to find out whether or not people had forecast the World Trade Center disaster. So he put an ad in the paper, and he got back a great number of responses from people who had incredibly detailed dreams beforehand, demonstrating that they had forecast it. They were talking about burning buildings and being in planes and having a sense of flying into a building and all sorts of things relating very specifically to the disaster. Even if it wasn't an image of New York, some of them were images of Philadelphia, or it was somebody's own office building but transformed into a skyscraper and them plowing into it. From there, he started looking into whether it's possible to have forecast dreams like John Dunn had. Now, Dunn himself had a really fascinating example. This is what caused his discovery. It was when he was a young man serving in the British Army in South Africa. He had a really vivid nightmare, and he found himself on an island that was about to have a volcano rain down on it. And in the dream, he was trying to persuade the French authorities to evacuate the 4,000 people whose lives were under threat. He told people about this dream the next day, and soon afterward, he received a copy of the Daily Telegraph from England, which contained a headline, Volcano Disaster in Martinique. And the article described how the capital of this French island in the Caribbean had been swept away and how more than 40,000 people had been killed. Now, the article was written before Dunn's dream, and many thousands of people had already read it. So it could have been telepathy that had caused this. But Dunn dreamed that 4,000 were endangered and thought the paper mentioned this figure. But he had discovered that in his haste, he had misread the paper, which had actually said 40,000 people. So what happened was that the dream was a forecast of what Dunn read and thought he had read, not what actually happened. So in effect, it was forecasting what was going to happen to him. And that, I think, is a key element of what happens in these forecast dreams, certainly that Sheldrake has found in a lot of his research.
How do you explain that, though? That seems incredible that he could forecast what was going to happen to him, not even what really happened.
We come back to things that we've looked at in the field and living the field, which is the whole idea of time. We always think of time as a continuum, you know, as a line. But if you look at quantum physics, you understand that there's a thing called non-locality where electrons, once in contact, are always in contact over any kind of time or space. If that's the case on the subatomic level, it follows that it's probably the case on the macro level in our ordinary lives. So it means that instead of an idea of time, which we've kind of created mentally, that time actually is one great big smeared out here. And so we're at all places and all times all at the same time. You know, it's a whole idea of parallel universes. Very hard to get your mind around, but it's like everything's all happening at the same instant.
So if we accept that on the basis of his dream and what he actually ended up reading, what does that tell us about dreams in general and how useful they are?
Well, if you start recording them faithfully, as Dunn's found, he finds that you have lots of dreams about what just happened over the past day or two, but you have the same percentage of dreams about what is about to happen in the next day or two. So your minds are just letting you know, giving you a little warning about what's about to happen. I was just with somebody who was talking to me about this. He dreamed about his car being in a certain driveway and him forgetting to put the emergency brake on and the car rolling backward and knocking over his 3-year-old son and killing him, running him over. And he was very upset, crying when he woke up, et cetera, et cetera. Really, really vivid dream. Day or two later, he was driving along. He pulled into a driveway that looked very familiar. He got out of the car, and his little child ran behind the car, and he suddenly realized he had not put the emergency brake on, and the car started running backward. He was able to, because he realized this, rush over, grab his child, and pull him away to safety. The dream, in effect, gave him a warning. And that's what we can use our dreams for. They're warnings. They're things to enable us to change what is ultimately going to happen.
Now, a lot of the examples you've given are dreams that are quite dramatic and quite horrific, actually. You know, volcanoes exploding, children getting killed and so on. What about the good things? Or doesn't it quite work that way?
Funnily enough, Rupert Sheldrake looked into this and found that mostly the forecast dreams are the negative ones, that mostly we dream about disasters. There were a number of people who dreamed about the Titanic, people who dreamed about railway disasters, those kinds of things. Maybe they're meant to be a little wake-up call, pardon the pun. Although we do have dreams of lovely things, weddings, et cetera, et cetera. More likely, we're dreaming to prevent something from happening, to give ourselves a little jolt and a warning.
Does that mean the universe is giving us that? We're giving that ourselves, or maybe ourselves in the parallel universe is giving the other person a hint?
I like to think that the field is giving us that hint, that we ourselves, our consciousness, is tapping into the field and getting information in order to help shape our own futures. And the whole idea is that reality is mutable and that we're an influencer and we can tap in, get that information and change things for the good. So it has great positive suggestions about how much we can influence our own reality.
That's Lynn McTaggart, editor of the Living the Field Masterclass.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.